Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 1. We're going to look at the river of the water of life. I know this is not on this subject yet, but I know that, as Christians, there's times we're real close to God. And God's there all the time. If we draw nigh to God, He's nigh to us. Okay, but there's times then we allow ourselves to drift. I think the cares of this world just get in the way, and we know we're far away. We get farther and farther away. We're not where we need to be. And the peace and the joy that's with us when we're close to God, we know when we are. We know when we're spending the time in prayer, the time in the Word. And so, I've had that, and even today I knew that I wasn't where I needed to be. And I think it's not difficult to know what we need to do. We need to spend time in the Word and prayer. And so myself, I get in the book of Psalms, and you can read through, almost any psalm. You start reading through it and just pray that. You read a verse and you think about it and you pray it, Lord. And it's just that effort, and it is effort. It's a discipline to get into prayer and reading the Word. But that just, it draws you back in, and you can start to feel like you're in the will of God. And I don't know why we do that as Christians. Why do we let ourselves drift away, even for a day, even for 2 days? But the way to get back is to read His Word, meditate on His Word. Don't just read it for 5 minutes and think, all right. But spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. And so, Lord willing, tonight and things like this is a time that we can all spend 12, 15 minutes with God. We're going to be in Revelation 22, verse 1. And so we're talking about the river of the water of life. So what is this river of water of life? What do you think it is? Where do you guys come up with this stuff? It's a river? That's right. But no, again, one of these things that people make Revelation so complicated that you're just scared to even read the book because you think, how can I know what this even is going to mean? But that's because they take things like the river of water of life and they try to say, it just means salvation or it just means love or something, but it means a river of water. And this water is not just regular water, but it's water of life. And so we're going to look at that tonight. Revelation 22, verse 1. So we'll just read that. The Bible says, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." So we're going to look at this pure river of water of life that's going to be in heaven waiting for us someday. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You today for Your Word. I thank You that we could come here. Lord, be with me as I expound Your Word, as we look at it. Help us to see things new in Your Word that we see. Every time we come to Your Word, we see new things. And help us to grow and to look forward to what we're going to have in heaven. Thank You for having a heaven for us. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Revelation 22, verse 1, it says, "And He showed me a pure river of water life." Who is this He? We have to go back to chapter 21, verse 9. This is still the same sequence or the same conversation, 21 verse 9, says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." This is still in that conversation, so it's still one of these angels. Is speaking to who? John, the author of Revelation. So an angel is speaking to John, and the angel showed John here a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So what's the source of this water? The throne of God. It comes from God Himself, and it says, and of the Lamb. And I always have trouble picturing the Trinity. We're talking about this throne, which is singular, but it's a throne of God and of the Lamb. And so I don't know how it's going to look when we get to heaven. I can't picture it, but I know what the Bible says. Is that there's one God that we worship, and there's three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So here it's of God and of the Lamb. So we see two of those three persons of the Holy Spirit, of the triune God, and it's one throne. But regardless, that's where the water comes from. It's not coming from an underground spring. It's coming from the throne. It comes from God, is where this water comes from. But I think what we first see when we look at this, it says, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life." This thing's pure. I know we like pure, don't we? I mean, like, if you go to the bottled water, do they sell pictures like of, you know, Lake McConaughey and say, here's where your water's coming from? You know, down in Kansas, we say that comes from Cheney Lake, and that's where all the Wichita water comes from, and you don't want to drink water from Cheney Lake. But they always show it like it's from the top of a mountain, you know, or a glacier. Because we like pure things. And this is pure river. That means it's not mixed with anything else. It's not hard water. It's not soft water. It's pure. It's just H2O. It might be a little different. This is water of life. It might be H2O plus or something. Okay, but it's pure, right? And God likes things pure. And if we read through the Bible, we would expect this water of life and things in heaven to be pure. The tabernacle that God gave Moses the instructions to build was to have everything in it, basically, of pure gold. Not partial, it was pure gold, specifically in Scripture. The lamp that was in the tabernacle was to burn pure olive oil. God likes things pure. The Ark of the Covenant was to be anointed with pure myrrh. So God is a pure God, and He wants things to be pure, so it's no surprise that this river of water of life is going to be pure. Let's turn to Psalm 12. I want to spend some time on this pure, because things in heaven are going to be pure. And this water, this river that's going to be in heaven, and that we're talking about in the New Jerusalem, coming out of the throne of God, is going to be pure water. Psalm 12. Our God's a pure God. He wanted pure things in His tabernacle. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." So our God is pure. His words, and we're talking about the Word of God, it's pure. That means it's not mixed with anything else. There's not some Word of God in here, and then some stuff that's not necessary, or some stuff that's not His. The words of the Lord are pure words. Okay, and look how pure they are. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, I don't know, but I try to do stuff. Not many things have I done, like seven steps to try to get it perfect. Like when I polyurethane something, I go into it thinking I'm gonna do this the best I've ever done. I'm gonna put on seven coats. I would think that, but after the third one, I'm like, that's good enough. You know, I mean, that is pure. That is amazingly, you know, that's attention to detail. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so that's talking about the words of the Lord. God is going to preserve His words from this generation forever. So we know that it's pure. It would do God no good to make pure words, purify them seven times, and then allow them to get lost, and then allow them to get unpurified. We still have God's pure word. God said, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So God is a pure God. He's got a pure word. So when we read this, we don't have to think, well, that's not the word of God. That is. That's pure. There's no mixture in the Word of God. So God is a pure God. His Word is pure. Let's go to Psalm 24. The river of the water of life is going to be pure, clear as crystal. And that's the kind of God that we serve. That is our God. He likes purity. Psalm 24, verse 3. Psalm 24, verse 3. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So God, looking at who He would, you know, who can descend up to the holy hill, who can be up in heaven with Him, has to be those of a pure heart. God wants us to have pure hearts. He wants us to be pure as followers of Him. Now, are we going to reach purity? Only when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way that we can ascend to the holy hill, into the hill, or stand in the holy place, is because of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, He doesn't save us and then just want us to defile ourselves. He wants us to be pure. I mean, if He's worried about the gold being pure in His tabernacle, how much more would He be worried about you being pure? This reminds me of the junior high groups around Henderson. They went to this Dare to Share conference. in Lincoln this last week, and it was they kind of went, and it's like you would think a youth conference would be, a lot of music and videos and a lot of these things to catch the attention. And they had a lock in, where they went to sleep at 1 or 2 in the morning. And I was talking to a parent of one of those, and they said they think that some of the stuff that was taught was good, but they can share with the words and going out and saying, you should believe in Jesus Christ if the life of this teenager is just, they're going to parties, they're doing whatever everybody else does, just coming and sharing Jesus Christ, I mean, that really doesn't fit together. And I think this conference, I mean, it's talking about daring to share, and it gave a way to share Jesus Christ, which is good, but God wants you to be pure. Because the message doesn't mean much if we're saying, yeah, you ought to believe in Jesus Christ, and we're living this life over here. God wants us to be pure. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the only way we can stay pure is to confess our sins. And to try. I know in Ecclesiastes he said this is the whole, the whole counsel is to fear God and keep His commandments. I mean, we should try to live holy lives. We should try to live pure lives. No man is without sin. And that's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ came. And He's faithful and just to forgive us. But that should not stop us from trying to live pure. Trying to live clean and have clean hands. So God loves purity. Matthew 5:8, we can go there. Aren't you glad though in heaven it's going to be clear as crystal, pure water, not like, Beaver Creek. It goes by the city dump. I mean, that water. That's right. This is going to be very clear. I think at Table Rock Lake, that's pretty clear, but down in Missouri, but that's probably 10 feet you can see. So Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God wants us to be pure in heart. He likes pure water. He likes pure gold. He likes His Word is pure. He wants us to be pure in heart. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. And this is the time when we look at these, we can understand, yes, God likes purity, but we need to examine ourselves. And I had to do this today. Where am I not pure? In my thoughts and in motives. Because we can know what the Word of God says, but we can just look at it and keep doing the same thing. We have to let it hit home. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I mean, right there, I never saw that before. But this is a seal that's put upon us because God knows whose are His. He knows His sheep and the sheep know Him. I mean, this is again saying that God is going to, if we're saved, God is not going to let us get lost. It's a seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you're naming the name of Jesus Christ, depart from iniquity. You need to leave sin. You need to turn from sin and try to follow God. Right? In the Bible throughout, I mean, it gives admonitions. You read through the New Testament, we're saved by grace, but over and over it's telling us, don't sin, turn from iniquity, live Christ-like lives. It says in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that's purifying process when we purge things. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for His Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If we can purge ourselves and become pure, we can become useful to God. God has no use for a Christian that's living a life of impurity. But if we purge ourselves, we can be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet and useful for our Master's use, prepared unto every good work. And Lord willing, as Christians, that's what we want to do. We don't want to be some worthless vessel. We want to be meet. We want to be useful for our Master. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we want to be able to call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I know there was times when I was saved that I knew I was living in sin and I couldn't call out of the name of the Lord in a pure heart. I knew there was something between me and God. And I was going through the motions. I knew it was going through the motions. My heart wasn't pure. And so we should be able to be pure. James chapter 1. Right after Hebrews, the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 27. Again, looking at pure, God is a pure God, and so it should not surprise us that the river of water of life is pure, clear as crystal. James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. It involves going and visiting widows, orphans, but also keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Staying away from sin, departing from iniquity, having clean hands and a pure heart. So God wants us to be pure. Let's go back to Revelation 22. So God wants us to be pure, and He's going to give us a pure river of water of life. It's going to run through the midst of this city, New Jerusalem. It's going to come out of His throne. It's going to be clear as crystal. Okay, this is a river of water, but this water is water of life. Where else have we heard of water of life or living water?
The woman at the well.
Let's go there. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. So Jesus spoke of this water that comes in this river. Jesus spoke of this water of life, this living water. So let's read in John 4. All right, let's start in verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. So Jesus sat down on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I mean, this woman asked a pretty innocent question. She's wondering why he's talking to her, a Samaritan. And then he says, if you knew the gift of God, think of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that's talking to you, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. So this is where we first see this living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Where are you going to get this living water? You can't draw from that well. What are you talking about? I mean, I would ask the same thing. Living water. She said, where does this come from? Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. And so when we look at this passage, we look at this and say, okay, that's salvation, that river, that springs up into everlasting life. And I wouldn't argue with that. I mean, he's speaking of salvation, but if we are saved, we actually are going to get this living water. I think this is literal living water that we see fulfilled in heaven. And Jesus coming out from God, we saw that the water originated from God in Revelation. And here Jesus is saying, I can give you this water. It comes from God. And this water of the river of water of life, this living water that you drink, you shall never thirst. And right now, really, if you don't drink in a day, you're going to get pretty thirsty. 10 days and you'll die if you don't drink. But this water, you will never thirst again. And I believe that river of water of life, if we take a drink from that, we will never thirst again in heaven. Okay, then the woman saith unto him in verse 15, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I mean, she is saying, that's a great deal. I will never thirst again. She's thinking, in my life on earth right now, that's going to make my life great. I don't have to come to this well. I don't have to do this work every day. I don't have to, you know, fight with people and who can go down to this water. It's a lot of work, a lot of time. Plus, it's, you know, if we had to walk to the well, thirst would mean a lot more to us. Because we can just go to the fridge and ice and water and drink. So she's saying this would be great. So she's looking at this water that Christ is giving as helping her in this life and making her life better. So, we know that Jesus is offering her salvation and he's offering these things. So you would think he's given a presentation, hey, I got water that'll give you life. And she said, hey, I want it. In our modern soul winning, you know, we would say that's it. We just say, hey, God loves you and he wants you to have a great life. And they say, good, I want it. We say, all right, you know, pray and receive Jesus. We never talk about sin, never talk about any of this stuff. Just, God loves you, wants you to have a great life. Do you want to accept Jesus? They're like, sure, I want Jesus, because they want to help their life now. And that's what this woman said. This is great for me. I will not have to come to this well. So you think if Jesus was doing what we do now, soul winning, he would say, I got her. She said yes to what I offered. Now I'm going to have her pray a prayer and she'll be saved. But that's not what Jesus does. She just wanted it to make her life easier, but he didn't give it to her. He didn't say, all right, here's the living water. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. And what did he know about her husbands? Yeah. Yeah, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. So Jesus knew if he said, go get your husband, that was going to bring up her what? Sin. To come to Jesus Christ, we have to acknowledge our sin and deal with our sin, because that's why Jesus came. He didn't come just to give us water so our life can be easier, so we don't have to do this. He could have done that. But they still have that sin problem. So he said, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And Jesus Christ was a Jew. Salvation came from Israel. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We don't have to go to a mountain or to a temple to worship Him. We have to worship in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He's come, He'll tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. So Jesus first dealt with the sin. Okay, so far she hasn't, you know, we don't see that even in the story, what happens. But he brought up her sin. And then he said, I am the Christ. I am that Messiah. I am the Savior of the world. And that's what we said. Let's go to verse 39. See the end of this whole thing. In verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So this gives us a pretty good outline for how Christ dealt with the lost. We have to understand that Christ came to deal with our sin. He didn't just come to make everything better for us right now. He came first and foremost to be a propitiation for our sin. 1 John 2, verse 2. We know as Christians He does make our life better. Even though our physical life and our, you know, everything from the outside may look worse. And that's what we talked about on Sunday. You know, true victory. We know that it is so much better to be close to God. But that's not how we present Christ. Is that He's going to make everything better. You'll never have to come to the well to get water in again. We have to deal with sin. And then they know that Christ, they believe that He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. They were looking for no other. They knew He was the Savior of the world. Save them from what? From their sins. So this river of water of life, Christ talked about it, and we never see what happened with it, but Christ did not give that water then. He never said, all right, you know, here's this living water, and there was actual physical living water, because it wasn't then. It's going to be in the future. And if we believe on Jesus Christ, if we trust Him, we will have this living water, that if we drink it, we will thirst no more. It's going to be the river of water of life that's going to proceed out of the throne of God. It's going to be pure, and it's going to be clear as crystal. I can't wait to see it. And it's our job as Christians. You know, we look forward to that, but knowing that, what the truth is, we need to go out and spread that. We need to spread that news. Share the gospel. Share Christ. We see Christ the way He did it. We have to talk about sin. We have to talk about hell. Christ talked about that. We have to talk about these things because it's the truth. We don't try to sidestep stuff because we think it's better. Christ didn't sidestep it. That's not the gospel that we have received. We need to preach and teach and share the gospel that's in the Bible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. I thank You that we can look forward to this pure water of life that's going to be in that river in heaven. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for that hope, and we cannot wait to be there. Lord, we also know that we have work to do while we're here. We can't work once we're in heaven. We can't save more people once we're in heaven. But Lord, we can preach Your gospel. And we don't save, but You save. But we can preach Your gospel. We can win souls while we're here on earth. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to live lives that are pure. Help us to look at our lives and see where we are not pure. I do ask, Lord, that each one of us here, you could draw us close and allow us and give us time and give us the focus and the impetus to get in Your Word, to read and to pray and to draw close to You. And that we can live a life in Your will and do Your will. Lord, I ask You to be with each one of us as we leave this place. Be with all the prayer requests we had. And I thank You so much for the wonderful love, the wonderful God that You are. I thank You for our brothers and sisters here today. In Jesus' name, amen.